Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for January 22nd, 2023 is based on Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon title is, When You Grow Up.
An introduction to our reading from Matthew. Jesus begins his public ministry shortly after John the Baptist is imprisoned by Herod. He proclaims the nearness of God's reign and calls four fishermen to be his first disciples. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father, Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from the Holy Trinity, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? This is a question that we often ask children starting at a very young age. Often we look at children and we see that they have their whole life in front of them. And because they were born in a country where we tend to believe anything is attainable, the possibilities for them are truly endless. With no known limits in place, we ask, What do you want to be when you grow up? Oftentimes, the answers start as things like superhero, or princess, or movie star, or now, professional YouTube streamer. As they get older, their responses become a little more grounded. Maybe a veterinarian, or a firefighter, or a teacher, or a scientist. Or an astronaut. But we don't stop there. As they get into high school, we continue to ask them what their future plans are. What do you plan on studying to become? Are you going to vocational school? Are you going to military school? Are you going to college? All institutions that are often viewed as preparing someone to become something. There's so much pressure on youth and young adults to choose, and to choose quickly, what they want to do or be for the rest of their lives. Choose your career path now, because after all of the education and training, you're going to need to begin working to pay back that debt. And work as long as you can to maximize your retirement. We're asking 18-year-olds to choose from an infinite amount of career choices to decide what they want to do for the next 47 to 52 years of their lives. And while making a living wage is very much an important factor in selecting a job, how often is salary the one thing that we judge someone's success upon? Shouldn't we be encouraging people to find what they love doing, even if it means it takes a roundabout way or many years to get there? In church terms, when someone finds out or finds the thing that they love doing, what they are gifted by God to do, that they feel called above all else to do, we call that someone's vocation. It's something that brings a person great joy when they're able to do it and allows them to show God's love to other people. Some teachers find their vocation in teaching kids. Some nurses find their vocation in helping heal others. Some construction workers find their vocation in building a home for someone to live in. Some landscapers find their vocation in being able to cultivate God's good creation. And while some people are able to live out their vocation as their career, sometimes we find our vocational call in other ways. Serving at a food pantry, helping teach kids in Sunday school, rehabbing homes with Habitat for Humanity or ASP, talking and praying with others who are going through a hard time. Have you found your vocational call? What brings you joy in sharing God's love with others? In our story today from Matthew, we are witness to Jesus calling his first disciples. It happens a little differently than in the story we read last week from the Gospel of John, but nonetheless, the first disciples are called and they follow Jesus. As Jesus comes up to these first group of fishermen, Peter and Andrew, he tells them, "Follow me, for I will make you fish for people." Follow me. Follow me. It's actually translated from the Greek a little bit better as come. Come now, with some urgency in those words. Come now and follow me. And surely enough, we are told that they immediately leave their nets and follow him. Now, I've always wondered why they would just drop everything in that moment to follow him. So let's dig a little bit. Some people say that maybe Andrew and Peter knew that Jesus was the Messiah, so they followed him. Well, Jesus had never said that up to this point, and we don't even know if they knew Jesus. If all it took was for Jesus to talk to people and they knew he was the Messiah and would follow him, he surely wouldn't have been nailed to the cross. This passage is actually almost word for word the same as what appears in Mark chapter 1. I encourage you to go back later, look at Mark chapter 1 for this section, and you'll see it's almost word for word. And Mark was the gospel that was believed to be written first, and then the authors of Matthew and Luke kind of took bits from that as they were creating their gospel. And in Mark's telling of Jesus' life, he is very concerned with the urgency in the story. So maybe this was stylistic flair for them urgently and immediately following Jesus. But none of those answers have been sufficient for me in my journey of faith. And then I heard a lecture from a very prominent New Testament theologian named John Dominic Crossan. There was a recent discovery in the constant excavation that is happening in the Holy Land of a fishing boat from Galilee, from the time that Jesus was alive. This artifact gives a direct view into the lives of people during that time, specifically the fishermen. Here's a photo of the boat that they recovered. Not this, the next slide is actually the boat. There it is. That is a fishing boat from the time of Jesus, with a person sitting next to it for perspective. And if you go with us to the Holy Land in 2024, we'll actually be visiting this boat. It's not a very large boat, not the kind that we would associate with fishing expeditions today. It's just large enough for a few people with their nets and their supplies to be in there and bring in some fish to bring to the shore. This would have been a tough line of work. Lots of work to scrape by just a living. Why do we think that they weren't making a lot of money? Well, let's take a look at the next photo. The next photo shows the types of wood that made up this boat that they found. You can see that the different colors are different types of wood, and the majority of the boat was made up of cedar and oak, the brown and the yellow. But 10 other types of wood from around the Galilee region were used for repairs throughout the years. And it's believed that through carbon dating, the boat was up to 100 years old when they found it, or when it would have, not when they found it, when it sank originally into the mud. Meaning that they have patched this boat through several generations of people in order to keep the family business going. They couldn't just go out and buy a new boat when this one didn't work anymore. Which brings us back to that idea of vocation and career. If your family fished for a living, guess what? You are going to be a fisherman. No ifs, ands, or buts. Your family had invested in that career. It was what the community expected of you. And if you didn't, and you weren't going to have the upward or sideways mobility in careers like we do now. Peter and Andrew, from the time they were born, knew they were going to be fishermen. They needed to keep the family business going so that they could take care of their mom and dad in their old age. There were instances where some people would not actually have to go into the family business. See, during Jesus' time, all young kids went to religious school. But then only a select few got to go on to further education. And of them, a select few got to go and work at the temple for the priests. And of them, only a select few, the creme de la creme, were selected to actually learn at the feet of a rabbi, the temple teachers. To use a metaphor that's pertinent to today, it's like football. Many kids might play peewee football, but only a few get to go on and start at the high school level. And then only a few of them get to go start at Division I college. And only a few of them get to go off and start in the NFL. And only a minute percentage of them get to the pinnacle and win a Super Bowl and make it to the Hall of Fame, which we have faith Joe Burrow will do. But with all those things in mind, we have a clearer context of what Jesus is offering to these two fishermen when he asks them, "Follow me." First, he's giving them the option to leave a tough and demanding career that was predestined for them that they might not even like. And two, and more importantly, he was offering them and their families the honor, the social honor of learning at the feet of a rabbi. They were selected out of all of the people who were working at the temple and have already been selected as the creme de la creme. Jesus doesn't select from them. He selects from two lowly fishermen, two of the lowest in their society, to learn from him. One of Jesus' first acts in this calling of the disciples echoes the song of Mary that she sang when she was told that she would carry the Christ child. That God will continue to lift up the lowly and give them a new life. In this story, we see how Jesus is giving these disciples the ability to do something more with their lives than they previously thought possible. He gives them additional meaning in their lives. He's breathing new opportunity into them, giving them a calling, a vocation. A chance to show God's love to people in a new way that will spark joy in their hearts. But not all people in the story that we hear about Jesus' life were called to follow Jesus in a physical way as their career. There are many times where Jesus did a miracle and told people, "Don't talk about this, go home." And the people went home, didn't follow him, but they did share that message of love with other people. They still found a way to live out a vocation, a way to share the good news of Jesus' love for others amidst their daily lives. And so again, I ask, have you found your vocational call? How has God uniquely gifted you and called you to share God's love with others? For as we see today, God calls all people, no matter their status. Might Jesus be calling you to something new and different in this season? How might we all step boldly out in faith like the disciples did, to follow Jesus and share his love and desire for justice with others? Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.